38. Steris threw open the door to the governor's chamber where he was holding his private counsel on what to do about Bilming, then held that door open for Constable General Reddy. He'd been invited to the meeting along with his staff. Today, that included two other people, Constable Gorglin as record keeper, and Steris. The governor sat at the head of the meeting table. Attawathwin immediately glared at Steris through dark brown eyes. The three senators, Lord Set, Lady Hammondess, and Lady Gardra, were in attendance, as well as Ambassador Dahl, his expression unreadable behind his blood-red mask. The shorter man hadn't taken a seat at the table, but instead stood by the wall, his posture prim and sharp.
"Ah, finally," the governor said, looking up from the broadsheets. "Ready, you..." "Wait, what is she doing here?"
"Lady Ladrian," Reddy said. "Subject matter expert, on my payroll."
As of 15 minutes ago, at least. Steris had insisted he actually pay her, and she clutched the single coin in her fist as she shut the door behind Reddy. Then she stepped forward and sat down at the table beside him.
"Did she tell you," the governor said, "that I specifically excluded her from this council?"
"Yes, she did," Reddy replied. "And frankly, Your Grace, I thought that an unwise move. She's the wife of the man who alerted us to this crisis. When Lady Ladrian approached me and explained why I should employ her, I realized she'd undoubtedly have information this council needs."
The vice governor folded her arms on the table, scowling, but the governor, he nodded. Steris always hesitated to read too much into people's expressions, but now she wondered, was there a rift between these two? She'd always assumed Varlence was entirely in Attawathwin's pocket. But then, no person ever fit comfortably in a pocket.
"Very well," the governor said. "I'm afraid we started without you. As the information has come in and we've gauged the feelings of outer cities' governments, we've come to see that our path is inevitable. It looks like war."
"War," Reddy said.
"It's the necessary course of action," Lady Hammondess said. She had a small gap between her front teeth, of the sort men often described as cute, as if it were the reason for her beauty, rather than her flawless skin, delicate features, and long lashes. Curious how minor flaws became cute when their bearer also happened to be conventionally attractive. "The outer cities are building up for war."
"Warships in Bilming," Lord Set agreed.
He was a striking man, if you liked the smooth and well-dressed sort. Steris wondered how much work it took to keep one's rough edges so contained behind powders and soft clothing.
"Railroad blockades to the south, recruitment flyers in the roughs offering jobs for security forces."
"Which is why," Constable Reddy said, "we need to work so hard to soothe the situation and reconcile."
"Better," Lady Hammondess said. "We should strike first. We've been ignoring the warning signs for too long. If we don't move soon, we will not be able to win."
Steris glanced at Lady Gardra, the third of the nobles in the room. The plump woman was much less of a war hawk than the others, far more reasonable. But even she nodded, reluctantly. And it did make sense. Every day that Elendel dithered gave the other cities time to build power. Elendel had the advantage of infrastructure, manufacturing, and coordination, but that wouldn't remain an edge for long. Striking first made sense if you thought war was inevitable. But it wasn't. It didn't have to be. This was the enemy's plan. She was increasingly certain that saber-rattling in the outer cities was a cover for whatever weapon was being prepared in Bilming. Reddy began sputtering.
"War with what army? Elendel has barely 10,000 troops, and that's counting our navy protecting shipping to the south."
"We have conscription plans in place," Attawathwin said smoothly, "and we have a very capably trained constabulary."
Reddy seemed horrified by that statement. Steris had something to add, but she hesitated. Was this the part where she spoke? She could rarely figure that out.
"My people," Reddy said, "are not
soldiers.
Pardon, Constable, Lord Seth said, leaning across the table, but no one is a soldier until they're trained to be.
We're needed, Reddy explained. Law...
We'll be under martial law, the governor explained. Policing crime in the city will get a lot easier with curfews. You can put excess constables into the military force.
Maybe this was the part where she should speak. Steris opened her mouth and made a noise to that effect, but they kept talking straight over her.
I won't stand for this,
Reddy said, throwing himself, paradoxically, to his feet.
This is not the oath my constables swore.
You don't get to choose, Constable, the governor said. I hold your commission and that of every constable in this city. They ultimately answer to me.
We can quit, Varlence,
Reddy said, leaning forward, his hands on the table.
You can't force us to fight.
Steris started.
Actually, Adawathwin said lightly, that's precisely what our draft is, Constable Reddy.
I would...
Steris tried again.
Yeah, Reddy snapped. And who exactly is going to lock us up?
Everyone shut up and listen, Steris snapped. Or I will barf on the table to get your attention.
The entire room stared at her.
I'll do it, she warned. I keep medication in my handbag to produce the effect. You'd be surprised at how often the option is relevant.
Well, now she had their attention.
If we are worried about war, she said, we should immediately begin an evacuation of the city.
No good, Seth said. If there is war, we need workers to facilitate industry and to ramp up production of munitions.
Rusts. That was the correct answer.
She'd hoped he wouldn't have thought that far forward. She glanced at the silent Malwish ambassador. What did he think of all this? Had he anticipated it? She had always kept her focus on members of the Set in the Basin, but who was to say there weren't members among the Malwish as well?
Rusts. War is not the answer, she said, turning back to the group. It serves our enemies, not us. Look, I made a list here to prove the logic of what I say. I'm increasingly convinced that the leaders of the outer cities want us to be passing legislation that restricts and insults them. They want us interfering. They have built gunships and militaries, but they have not attacked. They caught Waxillium in their midst, shooting up a warehouse, but what haven't they done? They haven't expelled our constables or officials from the city. They've shouted about it, they've drawn up editorials, but they haven't attacked. Why not?
Because they need us to do it, Reddy said. They need us to give them a reason to go to war.
The common people of the Basin don't want to fight, Steris said. Certainly not against Elendel, where they undoubtedly have family.
Or because they don't think they can win,
Lord Seth said. Steris looked down at her notes.
That's unfortunately a real possibility.
Why is that unfortunate?
Reddy asked.
Because, Steris said, if they know they can't defeat us in open war, they might do something desperate. Like unleash a weapon of cataclysmic relevance.
Returning to your real point, Adawathwin said, this bomb you keep harping on. But Governor Varlence was watching her. He was listening.
My husband, Steris said, is in Bilming investigating it as we speak. He produced a terribly dangerous explosion in our laboratory using rare materials we know the enemy has. We have traced a set of test explosions in caverns underneath Bilming. Something is happening.
She met the governor's eyes.
And if our fears about a bomb are true, she said softly, then the posturing, manipulating us into the position of a bully and tyrant who needs to be resisted, might be intended to give the leaders of the outer cities a justification, a way to explain why they had to take such extreme measures. Like destroying us all.
The room quieted, but then Lady Gardra shook her head.
Are we really entertaining these fancies? Doomsday weapons? The real politics of the situation aren't enough?
She, Steris realized, looking at the quiet woman, must be the member of the Set.
She'd assumed there would be at least one moving among the political elite of Ellendale. For a while she'd worried it was the governor or Ada Wathwin, but they were both too obvious. The set liked to move beneath layers of obscurity. The governor was far too prominent, and Ada Wathwin too actively working for things the set wanted. She was a decoy. She likely assumed she was the mastermind of her own designs. In actuality, she was just another puppet. Encouraged, but left clean so that her eventual downfall wouldn't lead to real conspirators, who included, smartly, the woman who was seen as the most reasonable, the most rational. Steris felt far more comfortable upon identifying her. It was like finding a snake in your intimate's drawer. Yes, it was alarming, but at least you could close the drawer and know where it was. But how to steer the conversation in defiance of that woman? Ah, perhaps that? She turned to the constables.
This might be the right time to reveal yourself, she said.
Huh?
Reddy asked.
Not you, Constable General, she said, looking past him toward the lanky Constable Gorglin, the younger man with a long neck and freckles. So unassuming. He met her eyes.
How did you know?
He asked in a grinding, rough voice that didn't match his frame.
Process of elimination, she said. We were promised help, and Milan said there were multiple Chandra among the constables, but gave only one name. Plus, you walk awkwardly when you have to use a two-legged body.
Damn, Gorglin, Tensoon, said. But I suppose you're right about the timing.
He stood up before the room of surprised people and made his skin transparent.
Harmony would like me to impress upon you the importance of our current debate and to confirm what Lady Ladrian is saying. The set is real. They are planning to annihilate Ellendale.
The governor gasped. Ada Wathwin drew back. Reddy gaped, then spun on Steris.
Why didn't you tell me?
I wasn't 100% certain until earlier today, Steris admitted. I actually wondered if you were also Chandra ready. I decided against it, as I don't think Harmony likes his Chandra impersonating important officials, except that once. Well, and that other time. But those were exceptions.
She flipped open one of her notebooks.
I've been tracking who might have been replaced for weeks now. See? Chandra attendant to the Constable General. Second most likely placement in the city for one of the immortals.
And the first?
Ada Wathwin asked.
You,
Steris said, flipping back a page.
But I was working with outdated information. A Chandra in your place would take far more care not to be an utterly worthless piece of slime.
She made a notation. The room was quiet.
Oh, did I say something awkward again? I do make that mistake sometimes, don't I?
Reddy slumped back into his seat.
I can't believe this.
It was all but inevitable that they would be among your staff, Constable General Reddy, Steris said.
No, he said. It's not that he's Chandra. It's that... Rusts. Wayne was right.
I am Tensoon,
the Chandra said to the room, eliciting another series of gasps. He growled softly.
I hate it when people do that. Harmony is worried, and so you should be worried. Especially as Harmony is unable to see certain things lately. We are working blind.
What can blind a god?
The governor asked.
Another god, Steris mumbled.
So what do we do? Reddy asked. We can't go to war, not if that's what they want, but...
He was interrupted by a knock at the door. There were no attendants in the room, just senators and the like, so Reddy answered it himself, revealing a young woman, a radio technician by her uniform, holding a folded piece of paper.
What is it?
Reddy demanded.
Communication from Dawnshot, she said. For Lady Ladrian, I thought it was worth interrupting you, even though the people outside said...
You did the right thing,
Reddy said, taking it. The poor woman was pale and trembling.
You read it? Steris asked. I had to transcribe it for you, she said. That's how it works.
Reddy handed Steris the letter, and she unfolded it. The opening words, bold and dominant, leaped off the page. Bomb is confirmed real and already fabricated. City destroying capacity. Enemy is trying to find a way to deliver it to Ellendale. It's time to evacuate the city.